This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, indeed, I'm Mark Dolan. It's FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest online radio station. Over the next hour, we'll be taking a satirical aim at the week's big stories. We're going to kick off with a record. We've got a new London mayor, which is why we're playing this. Don't go anywhere. I'm literally Mark Dolan, and welcome to FUBAR Radio. Mark Dolan Eats the News, a weekly digest of the big stories everyone's talking about. Can I apologise this lunchtime? I feel a little rough around the edges. I'm a little green around the gills because I went out last night for drinks with Sheridan Smith. Oh boy. OMG. The Queen's in hot water this week, because she was overheard saying that Chinese officials were rude on their last visit to the palace. I'm afraid the Queen's got previous on this. I don't want to call her racist, but I would say gently intolerant would be the thing. She's the kind of person that goes to a Chinese restaurant, and rather than make the effort to say, "Can I have the king prawn tempura?" she's just like, "Can I have a 3, a 7, an 89 and 2 pints of Cobra, please?" She's that kind of person. And Cobra, by the way, that's for Indian restaurants. Mom. got to be the ting sao or whatever the other one is. See, now by getting that wrong, I'm being racist. Oh my God. In an effort to prepare for a potential, and hopefully, God forbid, it ever happening, terrorist attack, the city of Manchester basically recreated a scene of carnage, of people on the street and bleeding and screaming and everything. It was like a, they call it a reconstruction. I call it Friday Night in Manchester. Scientists, this is science news, scientists are going to be allowed to genetically modify human embryos. That's a decision which has been made after a lot of soul searching and moralizing. So scientists can genetically modify human embryos, which is great news because it means we can make sure Donald Trump never happens again. I love how the internet is processing Donald Trump at the moment. The meme of the week is cats that look like Donald Trump, which is, it's an actual thing. I highly recommend you take time out of your busy day to have a look. If you look at the pictures, you can see the cats thinking, I'd rather look like Hitler. This Trump thing is just embarrassing. Meanwhile, BBC, future of the BBC, I should say, is under question at the moment because Culture Secretary John Whittingdale is doing his thing in the House of Commons in terms of outlining the future of the BBC. One of the things that he's planning to do is to remove Graham Norton as host of his own chat show on Friday nights and replace him with Theresa May. Apparently you'll be, quote, amazed how funny she is. He's also promised to, quote, do something about Claudia Winkleman's fringe. So good luck with that one. That's not all, because one of the most incendiary stories of the week has to be a female PA who was turned away from work this week after refusing to wear high heels. We're going to debate the ethics of that one. Is that a disgrace or is it just in the jobs thanks for it. See, hashtag Sheridan Smith. This is all I'm saying. Is that a disgrace or is it quite acceptable if that's in the contract? I'm welcoming to the studio two outstanding comedians, entertainers in their own right, purveyors of mirth, who have basically received a dress code from me for their appearance in the show. I asked Wendy Wason, who is one of my all-time favourite comedians, just to wear something comfortable because she has a high body temperature because of yoga, which we'll get to. So I'm like, there was no pressure on Wendy as to what to wear. It's just come as you will. You all, without sounding like I'm grooming you, like you always look nice anyway. Was okay. Was that groomy?
No,
yeah.
I'm just not sure it works on the radio.
Are you sure that it wasn't the first rung on the ladder of grooming? You look nice.
I don't know if I've been groomed before because you don't really know. That's the trick of grooming, isn't it?
No, and also you and I are into our late 30s now, and suddenly being groomed becomes like not unpleasant.
Not unpleasant. I have a story I'll tell you about getting older, which is, I don't know, do you want me to tell you it now?
Well, no, hold fire, because what we'll do is we'll do that conniving thing that commercial broadcasters do, which is get people to stick around to hear that story.
Yeah.
We'll do it at one minute to one. Wendy Wason, the dulcet tones of the comic genius that is Wendy Wason. I also have another wonderful comedian with us in the studio who's one of those people that Wendy and I basically find to be a threat because what he is he's the next big thing. He's the future of comedy. He's young. He's got the rest of his life ahead of him. His liver is still intact. We love you, but brackets, we hate you slightly, Jake, just for being so fresh-faced and nice.
This is definitely grooming, but I'm totally okay with it.
You so are too. You're ready for that. Yeah. And what I was going to say about you is the dress code I sent you is I asked you to wear a boob tube, and you've obliged, so thank you for that.
I'm beautiful in
You're surprisingly well endowed.
I'm surprisingly comfortable in this as well, considering I've never worn one before.
All right, listen, do you know what? We're going to talk about, because it's trending at the moment, we're going to talk about the changes to the BBC, but in fact, something we didn't really agree this in advance, but let's quickly sort out the dress code thing of this lady at PricewaterhouseCoopers, which we should remind ourselves is a boring accountancy firm, right? I'm sure they're very good at what they do. They are a corporate giant. It's not the sexiest industry in the world. Why, therefore, somebody that sits at reception, who is the face of the organisation, has to wear high heels, is lost on me. Wendy, tell me more.
Presumably sitting behind a desk as well.
Yeah, true.
You can't see her shoes. Why would it matter whether they're high heels or low or flats?
It's a very, very good point.
Is their day so boring that the only thing they get excited about is seeing a woman totter about on a pair of heels? Is that if that's the highlight of your day, kill yourself.
But also, it's a bit geisha girl, isn't it? It's the idea that even if we can't see the shoes, we want to know that the lady is suffering.
Yeah, can't see them, but she's wearing them. Yeah.
In itself, it's just erotic, just the idea that she's wearing heels.
Is that erotic for you?
Well, I've shared a bit too much there, haven't I, Pickford?
Yeah, I mean, it's generally considered.
In vino veritas.
Look at you.
I've been on the... we
an accountant in disguise.
We had a glass of champagne in the green room before the show, and obviously it's just opened up a can of worms.
Things have got wild. It was ridiculous, though. Nobody should be forced to wear anything at work. I mean, especially high heels. I get, like, if she was wearing something ridiculously inappropriate.
Pajamas.
You know? Yeah, like,
so
as in,
angry.
Like, a monkey onesie or something like
I
that.
I want to know why men feel the need to comment on what women's wearing. In fact, the last time I was in here, you were talking about, we were talking about how low-cut... the top was the red dress. Who was it?
Oh yeah, it was Theresa May, the Home Secretary.
What popped up was how low cut her top was.
She'd got a cleavage out, and it was.
But why? Once again, commenting on what women wear, it's nobody's business. Wear what you want. It makes me
well,
so
I think
angry.
So. But listen, how far would you draw the line though? Because I think we're all agreed we don't really have a debate here on the high heels. I've got the most incredibly pathetically boring reason why I support this lady and not PricewaterhouseCooper, which is that. I think that high heels are really bad for you. I think anatomically they're just a terrible idea. I feel sorry for women when they... I'm not going to try to be so white. I would say that high heels on occasions, it's an amazing look on a female. I will admit that. I think there's something incredibly elegant about high...
I love how sanitized you said that. It's an amazing look on a female. Right.
Okay. I know, I've got to be so careful.
So you're not going to say... I think
high heels are gorgeous and sexy,
they're not good for your legs.
Are they?
They tone your shin.
How can having this elevated heel
because
be good for your anatomy?
Because they're stretching out your calves.
Really?
But not for extended
What about
periods.
Your back? I mean, I'm no
can't
doctor.
I imagine they're good for your back. But I think the whole
Boom.
Point of them
Landed
is...
Landed that punch.
Yeah, I mean, they're bad for most things except for your legs. I'd just go jogging, personally,
well,
you know, rather than...
They're going to build your legs. They're not going
to
land
I feel... Them. I think that in some ways, whilst I think they look great, I think that maybe we're going to have to wean ourselves off high heels because actually maybe the death of the high heel will be when feminism has done its job.
Well, feminism is about equality, so you can wear what you want to wear. If you want to wear high heels and that's your choice, fine.
Yeah.
If that's and if it makes you feel sick, in the same way that women wear underwear, not for men, but to make yourself feel sexy.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
I thought it was definitely for us.
I think it's six of one, half a dozen in the other.
If you go out in sexy underwear with your clothes on, no one knows what you've got underneath. You just would do it for yourself. Sorry about that, Mark.
You haven't
it's not
seen
all about
my
you.
Binoculars.
God, I don't think I can carry on
but
now.
I think high heels, the point of high heels is to make women wiggle, isn't it? It's that little wiggle,
oh, is that
sort
it?
Of seductive
yeah.
wiggle, because you don't walk normally. If you're running, you don't get that wiggle, do you?
Well, I run very weirdly, but I just move
Jake
around.
Wiggles. I'm intrigued. Jake does wiggle, but he's seeing an osteopath at the moment.
I get what you're saying, because, of course, like, say, for example, I was wearing a suit right now. I mean, other than the fact that I'd be boiling, but I'd feel very sexy, you know what I mean? And high heels do the same thing. There's no reason why anyone shouldn't be able to wear what makes them feel, you know,
good,
sexy
yeah.
and attractive and comfortable. And it's ridiculous, like you're saying, she's behind a desk for a start. What kind of dumb logic is that? If you're behind a desk,
even if
you
I can't see it, I want to know
be
you're
trouserless,
suffering.
You know? Yeah, totally. But that's basically what it is, isn't it? It's just misogynistic men who run this company trying to impose their ideas on women. And basically, so when she gets up at the end of the day, they can look at her as she
Absolutely.
Walks out and feel good about
but
themselves.
I remember when I was a kid, I remember there was a newsreader called, was it Jan Leeming or Angela Rippon? I can't remember. You never saw, but the newsreaders, you never saw their bottom halves. And she went on, was it...
She went on, I think,
it was,
the Morecambe and Wise show?
Morecambe and Wise show, and she danced, and there was a whole thing, because everyone was like, we can see her legs! It was
yes.
in the papers the next
day. Well, they did the can-can, didn't they?
She has legs! Oh my goodness, she has... And it was a huge thing.
Yes.
And I remember going to school, people going, did you see her legs? Like she was just a torso, and it was a revelation that she actually had legs.
I mean, if you want my honest opinion, I think... I mean, look, I'll just chuck it out there. I think high heels... As you said, you can, you know... hey, listen, the whole point is anyone can wear high heels now. That's the beautiful thing in principle about our very open society. You can wear them, Jake. I can. Wendy.
There's a shop on Evershot Street that do size men's size high heels,
which are probably also engineered for the sort of for the heavier
for
the heavier male
as well than what women have to wear.
I bet they are. I bet they are designed by a man as usual. But I think that you do. They are a bit symbolic, aren't they, of a sort of bygone era? Because I made this observation when I went to Russia and Eastern Europe to make a documentary a couple of years ago. I noticed that a vast number of women were wearing high heels just in the street on their way to work every day. It's like high heels is everywhere. And I don't know whether that's because those societies are very glamorous and everything or whether that was just a trend at the time. But I thought, well, I don't know. I just wonder whether in terms of equality, those societies have got a ways to go.
Because
or it's a sign of like, if in poor societies, it's a sign of money. If you can afford, like, because they're not practical.
Yeah.
So in poor societies, if you want practical, you'll go for flat shoes that you can get stuff done in. Whereas if you're very successful, practical and you know, is there a
problem? Well, I was really astonished because I mean, hit the London Underground or the Manchester Metro or the trams in Edinburgh, go wherever you want in the country, you will see a mix in the morning. There will be some females in heels. I would say probably mostly not. What do you reckon? Maybe 70-30?
Well, lots of girls with like trainers on and heels in their bag.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, it's an irrelevant point, really. I mean, because the same reason people wear makeup, you know what I mean? Like, it's not necessarily for any other reason other than themselves, personal preference, what they want
but
to wear.
But I wondered whether,
There's probably the same mix of you know, yourself, you're sporting some very attractive shorts right now.
Thank you, they're
there's
quite
probably
short,
the same mixture out there of women that are wearing high heels and women that aren't, as there are men that are wearing shorts. But you don't get women going, "Oh, look at that guy's calves." Some might, but generally speaking, it's because women don't have this sort of ridiculous, very shallow view of the opposite sex that men do.
But then I think men, there was a documentary on Channel 4 like years ago where a guy dresses a woman for a day, and he said he was really shocked because when a guy walks along the street, when another man looks at you and you make eye contact with him, he'll look away. Whereas women don't have that. If a guy looks at a woman, he'll appraise her. And when you make eye contact with him, he doesn't look away. Because it's that kind of thing where there's a sort of, I don't know if like, it sounds like, you know, men are repressing us, but there's that thing where women don't have that sort of barrier that you guys have. Do you know what I mean?
In the sense that women will feel the need to look away and feel like they're being...
But scrutinised. Sort
of, yeah, totally.
A guy came up to me the other week there and said, "Your bum looks nice in those jeans." And I was with my daughter and I was like, "How dare you?"
That's
and he
weird.
Went, "I was trying to give you a compliment." I was like, "I don't need your compliment." And then he said, "I've got a girlfriend anyway." And I was kind of like, God.
Well, it's like that story. What was that story with the guy that messaged the woman on LinkedIn? To compliment her on her picture on LinkedIn
right.
after they'd worked together or something like that.
Oh,
and
God.
It was completely inappropriate. And it was just like, I can't remember what the message was. But it's just like, why do you think that's an okay thing to do?
But then I wonder if it goes back to like page 3 where a woman's body is on a newspaper. So it's just available.
Here's
so
the thing, though. What's the equivalent? What's the male equivalent of high heels? Because aren't people on the front line of a business such as those at reception? Don't they have to look good, male or female? You have to look good.
I guess a suit.
Yeah.
Is it? No, I don't think it is.
I don't know whether a suit is, because, I mean, to say that would be to suggest that a woman couldn't wear a suit, maybe.
No, what's a male equivalent of high heels, then, that you'd wear to feel smart but it's uncomfortable?
Spanx?
Do you wear Spanx, Mark?
I'm currently being held in by quite a lot of elastic.
What are those jeans?
I haven't exhaled since we started.
What are those jeans that are really tight that I'd never wear?
Skinny jeans.
Yes.
I think that's a really good point. I think skinny jeans might be the high heels for guys. And we struggle.
I'm in skinny jeans right now.
Yeah, but you don't have a massive lump.
Penis.
I'm actually not wearing skinny jeans.
Well done, you.
I've got the skinny jean look, but what I do is I don't have skinny jeans. I have regular jeans and fat legs. I have.
Yeah. That's a good way to
do it. So it's really weird. It's annoying. I just look like I'm having a midlife crisis. It's like, no, I'm just overweight. That joke doesn't really work because I'm thin, but who cares?
So
I don't care. It's the radio. There are people in America who think I might be fat, so that's all right.
That's true.
Brilliant. Well, look, we're going to crack on. What we'll do is, here's a sting which tells you what you're listening to, and then we carry on talking.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
I hope I didn't deconstruct that too sort of in an unwieldy manner, Jake Pickford, comedian and entertainer. Now, look, let's sort out a few things. Let's quickly sort out the BBC. Now, the BBC is trending at the moment. I hate saying that because it sounds like some sort of youth presenter on BBC Three trying to sound like down with the kids. Do you know what I mean?
2016, man.
Here's something that people are talking about. Here's something in the news, which is the future of the BBC, which we own. It's a public state broadcaster. It's about 80 years old now, 85 years old. It's an iconic institution. Some people say the greatest broadcaster in the world. I'm interested in your perspective, Jake. How old are you? Am I allowed to ask?
26.
Yeah. So your perspective is interesting. The reason why the government say
'cause he's old.
That they're looking at the future... I'm old. Because the reason why the government are saying that they've got to look at the BBC, the reason why they're bringing into question the whole idea of the licence fee, which is a tax that pays for the BBC, which, by the way, is just short of £150, so it's not nothing. They think the kids are not interested, that you live in a multi-channel environment where you kind of like YouTube is free, you've got Sky, which you pay for, and you know, you've got HBO, you've got subscription services. The BBC can't justify monopolizing your money anymore. What do you think?
What do I think? I think that for a long time, YouTube has taken over television to the point where soon television will be almost irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the thing about the BBC is, I think, I don't know the figures, but I'm guessing less and less people watch it because everything is online now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Who is going to watch the BBC for their news source when they can go on the internet and research facts and watch things like Test Tube News or like YouTube channels where they're actually going to get sort of unbiased views? And I think a lot of people, not so much my generation maybe, because I think I was on the cusp of in between sort of racist, misogynistic people like my parents' generation. Not saying my parents are that,
but they're friends. They're friends, Nigel
but their
and Angela.
Circle might be, yeah. Mm. Whereas and
the people they swing with.
See, see the way I did that.
Good afternoon and welcome to Choosing Your Words Carefully.
Yeah. In case my parents are listening. But I do think, yeah, the BBC is becoming more and more irrelevant. You don't really have to pay a license for YouTube. Like, you could even steal your neighbor's Wi-Fi if you wanted and get it for free, you know. So really, it's just moving forward.
Are you happy paying £140?
I'm not happy paying for anything. I only said yes to a coffee because it was free. But that's it, more, you know. And it's likely to I mean, it probably won't, but it likely
Wendy,
to go up.
Wendy, go after him now. Go at him.
Well, I think the BBC was crucial growing up, and I think also the problem with them content being available, and you can watch whatever you want. I mean, my kids watch YouTube, like they're hooked on YouTube.
Yeah.
And my little boy, who's 11, has got a YouTube channel, and that's kind of like, I get an email whenever he loads a video, and some of them are really quite dull. And I said to him, come on, Max, you've got to make your videos interesting. And he said, no, I don't. YouTube just want content.
Yes, absolutely.
Which I think is really interesting, whereas the BBC provides, like, then I make them watch Attenborough at 90, and they're fascinated, and it's not a show they would choose to watch, but it's on the BBC, and it's educational and informative, and I think it's great.
Yeah,
that they see that, but
absolutely,
they wouldn't choose to watch it.
Sure, but that's not to say that they wouldn't stumble upon it, right? As in to say that YouTube has,
but
what, like 100 million?
The BBC made it. It wouldn't have been made.
Sure, but there's like 100 million YouTube videos uploaded a day. Like, you're bound to have people that are uploading monotonous, boring things, but you're also bound to have people that are uploading fascinating things. And you're literally only ever 2-3 sidebar link clicks away from something that you'd never thought that you'd be actively watching, but you've stumbled upon it.
Which I understand, but my point about the BBC is they have David Attenborough, who's an expert in his field.
Yeah.
So you've got 100 million YouTube videos being uploaded, but they're not necessarily by people who...
Not maybe
know
not
a lot about the subject. Whereas if I saw a program and David Attenborough told me something about a turtle nearing extinction, I'd believe it and think, well, that's, he knows what he's talking about. How do you guarantee that level of quality on YouTube?
Well, you can't guarantee what people are watching, but that stuff will always exist. I mean, the BBC, for a start, has a YouTube channel. You know, David Attenborough probably has a YouTube
channel.
Now,
here's the crisis. This conversation, I've observed, tried to be neutral, and this conversation reflects the dilemma for the future of the BBC, the dilemma for any government as to what to do with the BBC. And here's what it is. It's the same problem that newspapers have, which is journalism or content costs money.
Hmm.
But Jake, and it's not your fault, is in a generation where you believe content to be free. It started, I think, with music streaming. I think it started with Napster, which was an early incarnation of Spotify. So, you know, our generation is used to forking out, you know, a quid for a newspaper and paying for the BBC and all the rest of it. And now all that content is free on the internet. But the bottom line is that if the BBC kind of just closes down and there's no license fee, what you'll have is a general and almost invisible sort of decline in quality of the content. Because a lot of the content that's on YouTube has been paid for by someone at some point. If ultimately the income stream stops, then the good quality comedy will stop too, and all the other content.
The income stream wouldn't stop though. You can monetize videos, you can put adverts on your videos, you can sign up to a Patreon.
The YouTubers the kids watch, there was a whole thing that Oreos were hauled over the coals because all these YouTubers were doing the Oreo challenge. And then and all the kids started going, can you buy Oreo so we can do the Oreo challenge? And it transpired that Oreo had paid for this content. So what you're getting is not a, you know, you're getting sponsored content.
Sure, but what's wrong with
my
that?
Son like did that? My son did the Oreo thing. My son did it. He had an Oreo channel, and he's massive now. And he's, you know,
as in on YouTube or as in health-wise.
But they're vegan.
He's obscene.
Oreos
he's
are vegan.
Which I quite like, easier to control. Easy he hasn't got the energy to disagree with me now, which is ideal.
I've got a question for you, Mark. Do you think that the BBC have shot themselves in the foot by listening to the government and not necessarily covering NHS marches and protests in the news? Because what they've done is they kind of sided with the government and the government's gone, now you're irrelevant. Hmm.
Well, I think that the impartiality of the BBC is another big hot potato, and the Tories definitely, I would say, it's fair to say, have an agenda against the BBC, backed up by a big section of the press, much of which is owned by Rupert Murdoch, who is actually a rival broadcaster himself because he owns Sky. So, yeah, I think the whole thing is very murky. But I think it doesn't matter, as I said, I think you could have a Labour government in for the next 20 years, and I still think that there would be a debate about the BBC, because what will happen is eventually the public will just say, look, I'm paying £5 a month for Netflix. I'm paying this for HBO. I've got Sky. I've got content elsewhere. Amazon are doing it. Why am I forced to subscribe to one content service when all of the other services are voluntary? And I think what the future for the BBC, I suspect, is to gently and carefully be manoeuvred into a more sort of commercial position long term, but with some of the protection that being a state broadcaster has. What I'm saying is, there's no way that we'll be paying the licence fee in 30 years' time.
Really?
I really don't think so. I mean, Jake hopes not. I'm torn between the two of you, really, in terms of where we're at with this. What I would say to you is the other big thing is it's totally overrated about the advertising online. Advertising online is a tiny drop in the ocean of what content costs to make. So Wolf Hall would have to be 90% Oreos, 10% period costume for it to... You know what I mean? You're looking at drama costs. I mean, an hour of drama on the BBC, something like Wolf Hall, it's probably... Oh, well, it's in excess of £1 million an hour.
It's extraordinary.
That's a lot of adverts. But that's what I
mean. There's that sort of dilemma for broadcasters and for newspapers and magazines, whether do you give the public what they want to watch or do you give them what they should be watching? And I think, you know, you want your brain expanded.
But who are we to say?
Mine like, is. It's a medical
thing. About it is intelligence is relative to the situation in which you need to use it, right? Mm-hmm. So really, how can you say what we should be watching or what we need to watch? David Attenborough is never.
I love it. I love it when you two fight. I find it sexy. I'm going to put my.
And I'm not even in heels.
I'm enjoying this.
Yeah, I can't even see your bottom half.
Well, that's it. So Jake objects to the sort of Jake. Your argument is the BBC, in a way, is an example of the nanny state. It's like, this is good for you. Watch this. You're like, no.
Yeah, exactly. But the point of it is that you can go on YouTube and you can search for any of those things. 11-year-old would not choose to watch David Attenborough because your 11-year-old would probably rather be running around in a Batman costume.
Well,
I don't know.
Bizarrely, he watched 11. The Durrells, which is about a little boy. Have you watched the Durrells?
I have not.
It's brilliant. Yeah. Gerald Durrell wrote a book called My Family and Other Animals when he was like, he was a kid in Corfu and amassed all these animals and watched it. And we watched it and it was a drama that we watched. And then my son went, I want to see more programs about animals. So his interest in animals was spiked from a fiction.
Sure, and now he can go on YouTube and he can search for loads of videos on animals.
But we didn't do that, he went on to BBC.
Of course he did. One outlet rather than all these different multiple channels.
He wants to guarantee that when he hits that program, it's going to be someone knowledgeable.
Why?
That's what we had a conversation about it. I don't know. I'll take it out of him.
But no, I'm not taking it out on you either. But what I'm saying is, like, shouldn't it be our decision to decide whether the person that is telling us things is credible and our responsibility to then research
and
that?
And do you do that?
On the infinite... Yeah, of course.
Or do you just sit there just flicking through videos and...
I'll be honest, I sit there watching videos of people popping spots and I watch animal fail videos because I'm a weirdo. But if I...
Daily Mail have got one with it. There's a lady who gets cysts out of your face and neck and stuff.
The pimple popper, Sandra Lee.
Sandra Lee. She gets these. They're sort of like...
Oh, my God.
They're like the biggest blackheads ever.
If my kids were watching that, I'd go... Fucking mental.
But listen, I know how to do
a
stitch now.
I love it when you swear. You are, that's FUBAR. We're unregulated. We're not like the BBC. You can say what you like. This one will run and run. At FUBAR Radio, what do you think? Are you happy to pay for the BBC? Listen, we're going to move on. We've got so much more to talk about. So it's Mark Dolan Eats the News. We'll play a record. This is a great tune. This is News of the World and it's The Jam. Don't go anywhere. More fireworks to come. We'll be right back.
Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio in the company of Jake Pickford and Wendy Wason. My lovely friends, two outstanding comedians, do you want to please tell me where you can be seen in this great country of ours? Wendy, you're on your way to Edinburgh.
So. I'm on my way to Edinburgh. I've got my first preview on Monday the 16th of May.
Brilliant.
At the Hen and Chickens Theatre in Highbury.
Great venue.
It's going to be an absolute fucking shambles. So they're always fun.
Well, you've got to listen. Let me sort of share. Let's do a kind of little. I'm on my way to Edinburgh too with show called Life Hacks, and I'm excited about it. But
where are you?
When is it too late to write an Edinburgh show? Help me out here.
Well, the last one I wrote pretty much got written in the second week of August. So
what did you rewrite halfway through?
Well, yeah, because also you try your material at club nights.
Yeah,
you try and slip in bits of the show in a club night, and what works in a 20-minute club set doesn't necessarily work in an hour-long show.
No.
You can get away with a hell of a lot more in an hour-long show because people start trusting you.
Yeah.
And don't think you're a prick because you're like, hi, like me for the first 10 minutes and then you can share whatever you like.
And I think in the clubs, you've got to make people laugh for 20 minutes. That's the job.
That's it.
Yeah. Whereas I suppose with an hour, when people come see you, it falls under that thing of your fig leaf is, well, this is stand-up, but it's kind of theatre too, isn't
it? It's chatting. And also there's a theory that people can only laugh for 20 minutes.
That's
why sets are 20 minutes. So in an Edinburgh show, you have 20 minutes, a 20-minute set, a 20-minute set, and at the 40-minute mark, the audience are slumping. Mm-hmm. So either you go crazy, admit that, or you bring it down and make it look like this is the point where I want you all to be quiet and solemn, even though they're quiet and solemn anyway, but well, they don't need to know that you know that.
You're in control of that, rather.
And then the last 10 minutes is like, whoop, whoop, and we're out.
There isn't time for this, except to say that if I could change the world and change anything about the Edinburgh Festival Fringe, I would make shows 45 minutes long. I think it would be transformative because then it would give everyone 15 minutes to get to their net because every show starts on the hour, every show finishes at quarter to two. So you leave one show, go and see another, and the shows will be better because we all know that I find the vast majority of Edinburgh shows that I watch are what they are is a really great 40 minutes stretched out over
Where are you on this year?
Gilded Balloon with you. You
what
and
time?
I, we're sort of partners in crime. I'm at 8 o'clock in the Sportsman's Bar.
I'm at 6:45 in the Turret.
There's no clash. We're not rivals. Ooh, what a relief. Because you don't want to take on the Wason. No. You don't want to lock antlers with
the force
comedic
that is.
Beast.
Are you doing Edinburgh? Right.
I'm not. I'm taking a year off this year after the last three consecutive years of going up.
So, oh, really?
Good for you.
Yeah, so I might go on a real holiday.
That's crazy. You know what we did last year instead of going to Edinburgh? Got a new kitchen.
Yes.
I call it the Edinburgh kitchen. That's how expensive it was.
And it's had, I know that your kitchen got 4 stars from Broadway Baby, which is quite something.
Steve Bennett hated it though. Wrong colour taps.
Not original enough.
Wasn't alternative enough, my kitchen.
You sell it.
But I've heard a thing about, this is going way off topic.
Do it.
But there was a publication in Edinburgh 1 year that was a new publication. So what they did was they went around and reviewed comedians in the first week and gave them all 5 stars.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that when everyone put across their poster 5 stars from this publication, all of a sudden people had heard of a publication that had never been heard of before because it was on everyone's posters.
That's weird.
That's exactly right. Cheeky little scamps that they are. So and so, Jake. But you are stand-upping still.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
What's your Twitter handle? How can people?
My Twitter handle is at Jake Pickford. My website is jakepickford.com. All the dates are on there. I dropped my phone in the toilet recently, so I don't have them to hand because my diary was only on my phone because I'm an idiot.
Don't you back it up?
Yeah, you'd think so, wouldn't you?
That's a 26-year-old error right there.
Right, yeah. But I'll be hosting in Luton and Watford and Leytonstone and other places.
All right, well done you.
No, which one? Leytonstone, verbatim. Yeah.
Verbatim.
Yes. All right. Lovely. Well, look, that's good. Highly recommended, both of my lovely colleagues here. Let's talk about dating and marriage because a nationwide headcount of eligible bachelors and bachelorettes has been announced in Georgia, apparently in a bid to help tackle the slowing birth rate. Georgia's non-profit Demographic Development Fund, that doesn't sound very sexy, I'll take Tinder any day, believes that a drop in the rate of marriages and births has brought the small post-Soviet nation to the cusp of a demographic catastrophe. They say apps such as Tinder won't adequately tackle the problem and that government-backed dating service is needed instead. This is something I've long theorised about, Wendy, which is I think all of these apps like Tinder, there's a big furore about, you know, oh my God, you can just have sex and you literally swipe to the, what is it, swipe to the right. How do you say
You don't know it because you're married.
I know.
I don't know how it works, but...
but you press a button and then bang, you're in the middle of sex.
Literally bang.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think that's probably bollocks. And I think that actually it's been just as hard
to find a partner and just as hard to get laid now as it ever was.
Would you think apps like Tinder make people more choosy and more and think they're
fussy,
better than me? Like, was it, there was a guy who like messaged a woman saying on Tinder, saying, can you message
you can once you've matched. I haven't been on in quite a while.
Well, apparently this guy had messaged her saying, I don't really want to meet up. Everyone knows, everyone really wants an 8 and you're clearly a 10.
What?
And, yeah, and I was kind of like, does it make people pickier and make them think, value themselves more and have a higher opinion of themselves?
I'll tell you what I think it is, and I'm totally ignorant, so let's listen to me anyway. I wonder whether it's these dating apps are purely an extension of social media. And in fact, all it is, because I'll tell you what social
Facebook
media
started
is.
As a dating.
Well, there you go. Social media is entertainment. Social media is basically what you do to pass the time when you're on the bus. It's entertainment. It's fun. Occasionally, a bit of knowledge creeps in, but it's basically mainly that. And therefore, I think that when people go on Titter.
This is it's a new one. I've never heard of that one.
Wow.
Oh
my God, it's mainly breasts.
Sheridan Smith. No one knows who she is, but at least Wendy gets the joke. Okay, I just think it's another branch of social media, and I think it's and people go on there for a laugh. How much sex does it actually lead to?
Loads.
Really?
All the sex. Yeah.
Really?
No, it does actually genuinely lead to a lot of sex. I think I said that so blasé, but I think that you're right. It probably is just an extension of social media, but that's just the way that the world has gone, right? We're
so
more connected.
Sex.
Totally, yeah. We're more connected, but we're less sort of connected
emotionally
connected. Yeah.
Wendy, do you think there's more sex now because of apps, or do you think it was ever thus? All that happened before is that we went to the disco.
I think I don't see the changes. Like, people got pregnant before they got married, and like in the 20s. So yeah. I don't think it's a new thing. But
you know, 22-year-old Wendy versus 22-year-old Wendy's daughter. Who's going to clock up a bigger, more notches on the bedpost? Do you reckon?
Well, if I've got anything to do with it, 22-year-old Wendy, I'll be cock blocking her every step of the way. But I don't know. I mean, I hope that people are more emotionally intelligent, but I think people feel more connected behind a device, which means that people can go on Twitter and say horrible, vile things to other people that they don't know, in the same way that they can say, I mean, sending dick pictures, I just don't get that.
I don't get it either. Although,
why do boys think that's attractive?
I think, I can't remember what, there's a comedian that's got a great bit on it where he talks about it's because it's all we have.
Really?
You know what I mean?
It's so bizarre.
As in to say,
would never send someone a picture of my vagina.
No, of course, but that you also have other parts.
Oh, you don't want to see your vagina, Wendy, it's the tits we're after.
No. But okay. What I mean is,
Wendy, I don't want to put pressure on, you've got Edinburgh tickets to sell. Hashtag just saying.
Get on Twitter. No, but what I mean is, you've got other parts that would be attractive. So if you and I were sexting each other, right, and you would have sent me a provocative picture, I can't really respond with anything other than I wouldn't personally. But you know what I mean?
I
can't send a picture of my ass as a male and be like, yeah, you like the hairy fucking hole.
I like bottoms on men. I find it bizarre. I always find it bizarre, like in porn, like the cum shots, the thing people are after. I'm kind of like, I want to see the face of someone having a pleasurable experience. No, not come on them. So this is too far for daytime.
No, I'm a little bit. I mean, I'm learning. I'm actually taking notes. That's why you can't hear from me. I'm just writing all this down.
But you know, this Georgia story made me laugh so much because they put a picture of these sort of like one-toothed Georgian men like looking for dates. And on they've said on the website they're going to upload people's weight and their height, which I thought was fair enough, and their star sign. They're a zodiac sign. I'm kind of like, who gives a fuck?
Loads of people do. That's the weird thing. I don't get it at all. I think it's ridiculous. The Briggs-Myers test is a way more credible sort of way of, if you really want to put people inside a box.
Or like, do you want children or not? Children or not?
Yeah,
or like do you like going to the cinema? Or no, zodiac
but
sign.
But the idea of saying that, like, I think the closest that comes to being true is perhaps if you were born in the winter or you were born in the summer, that might make a slight difference,
right, okay.
Maybe.
I think it's extraordinary. Okay. It shows how backwards the plan is.
Academically, it makes a difference. My eldest son is the youngest in his year. He's 10 and he's hanging out with kids that are almost 12.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, OMG. But I think, I mean, there's a wider point here, by the way, which is, now I know Georgia is not technically Western society, although I think it's headed that way. Because
it's quite categorically not Western.
No, well, that's it. Literally and even metaphorically. But actually, most developed, it's a developing economy. Do you know what? It basically, aspirational people are just not having enough babies now. And more immediately, countries like Germany are in crisis. Now, a lot of people are saying that the reason why Angela Merkel said to the refugees during the Syrian refugee crisis, which of course is ongoing, she said, welcome, we'll have you. A lot of conspiracy theorists said...
We want your babies.
Yeah, we want your babies. Right thing to do. But now, here are the projections, which is very interesting, which is the population of the United Kingdom is in the late 60s. It's a 67, 68 million people. Germany, 81 million. The projection is that by 2060, the German population will have dropped to 71 million. UK population is projected to grow to 80 million. And for some reason, while Britain is an attractive place for people to come and make their lives, which I think is a good thing, Gordon Brown said yesterday in a pro-Let's Stay EU speech that by... Well, within 20 years, he expects the British economy to be the biggest in Europe. And he said, we should stay in the EU because we'll be Germany, which is a delicious thought, isn't it? But anyway, okay. But it's really interesting how societies are just not growing enough.
Well, I thought that because the Danish government came up with like slogans to make people have sex, which were do nice. It for Denmark.
Yeah, that's hysterical. Can I be honest with you? I saw that story and I Googled what Danish women look like. And like, why is there a birth
They're
rate issue?
They're super hot.
Yeah.
OMG. I was in Copenhagen airport and was just like, oh my God, I hate it here.
And I would have thought,
like a pig.
I would have thought the guys as well are getting it done, are they?
They're really, really hot.
Yeah, they're all
broad,
gorgeous.
Tall, broad, and like that gorgeous sort of tan skin and blonde hair.
Yeah, I know. And also they're
like get me the hell out of here.
They're very
right
nice
now.
People and they've
they
got like great
nice
hospitals
and everything.
Shall we all just go?
But yeah, 45%
tax, haven't they?
Ouch. Mm. Yeah.
That'll be it. They can't afford
I'd rather
that,
live
babies.
In a violent, divided society than pay that much tax, don't you think?
Don't they do this thing where the more you earn, the more tax you pay? So it's basically socialism for the poor and capitalism for the rich.
I
so like 97% of their population are on disability benefits and stuff like that. They've
in
got
Denmark,
a really. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like that they start school at 6. I think we start school way too young here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Same in Germany. But, they don't start till very late either. And the other thing in Germany is that school finishes at 1:30 in the afternoon. What they do is they come home and they have lunch with their family.
Do you know Finland's school system? They averages 3 hours a day at school and they're top of the education system. We've got it so wrong.
We've got it so wrong. This is what you're listening to, and there'll be more funny but also informative chatter like that after this guy has said this thing.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Actually, what I'm going to also do is I'm going to play a trail, and because we're ad-free, but we're within our rights to sort of support and publicise other great shows on the FUBAR platform. I'm incredibly proud and ploughed of my colleagues on FUBAR Radio, and here's a very here's a good example of what we're doing here 24 hours a day.
FUBAR Radio presents Harriet
Rose. In a few weeks, we've got Alfred Quantro coming into the studio to make some cocktails for us and chat about Quantro. But on the weekend, I DJed a little Marie Claire event and we had some Quantro Fizz cocktails.
Ooh.
They are so good. Have you tried? You haven't tried Quantro yet, have you?
I haven't. No, I'm saving it.
Which is really exciting because you're going to love it.
Well, it's going to be spring. Well, it's kind of technically spring now, but in a couple of weeks,
we've been
May.
Saying it's summer for like 4 months.
But I feel like when Quantro comes in, I'll lose my Quantro virginity on the show.
Yeah, and you've lost a lot of virginities on this show, haven't you?
Yeah,
sadly, not the one that matters.
Every Thursday, Harriet Rose, from 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
12:46 on FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. I'm known in these parts as Mark Dolan. We're in the company of the outstanding and brilliant Wendy Wason and the impossibly delightful and very funny Jake Pickford. The Pickmeister, the Pick Dog.
Pick Dog? P-dog. I've never heard that.
And what's curious is that you used to moonlight as a locksmith, didn't you?
Yeah.
So Pickford picks your locks, sort of. And then you've got flowing locks. I mean, it's just like perfect. It's perfect.
I don't think you've thought about this for a while.
Now, team, I've got to tell you that we've been promising a story from Wendy, which I've been looking forward to since the beginning of the show. Because it's been such a whistle-stop intellectual journey, I can't remember what the context was. So
the
why don't you take
it away?
The context
was about ageing.
Oh, yes.
About being older. I went to a Foo Fighters gig.
the other last summer, and it was great. And there was lots of band stuff, and we got backstage passes and stuff. It was really exciting. Nice. There was lots of free drink, and it was brilliant.
Mm.
And I'm chatting backstage to this young guy who was on one of the support bands, and we're chatting away. And I suddenly realised he wasn't just talking to me; he was chatting me up. And I was kind of, oh my god.
And you're thinking, hashtag result. I mean, I know you're happily married.
I'm happily married. And not only that, I said to him, I'm really sorry, but, you know, he was about 20.
Yeah.
I said, I'm quite significantly older than you. And he went, oh, no, no, I know. It's cool. The rec company said that if we want to sleep with someone, we have to chat to older women to make sure we can't get sued.
I beg your pardon? This is amazing. So you're not so much a hot, desirable woman. You're a legal loophole.
I'm a legal loophole. I'm the opposite of jailbait.
That's hilarious.
I'm like, well, I don't know. That would make me jail bail. I don't know. I was just like, oh my god, I'm not quite as flattered as I was.
Well, I do that with. I mean, I find that I'm very tactile, and I in professional circles, like if I make a program or whatever, I feel like I can accost my male colleagues because I love to like tickle people and stuff. But I don't do that to females anymore. But I mean, it's like there are no boundaries when it comes to my male colleagues because I just think, well, it's not going to stand up in court, is it?
I'm horrified by that. Boys.
I find that an incredible story. I find it almost impossible to believe, but it was true.
Well, also what's bizarre, I was like, and did the record company tell you to tell the lady that you're chatting up there?
Yeah.
And he's like, no? Yeah. Maybe keep that to yourself next time.
Added bonus for your enjoyment.
Thanks, mate.
I believe that's called negging.
Oh, am I meant to start going, no, please sleep with me. Yeah.
But does it flip back into the right sort of proportions when you go to see the Rolling Stones? So you're like a teenager compared to Mick Jagger, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're barely legal compared to Charlie Watts. You're like a four-year-old child. Exactly. For that guy in sort of rock star years.
They send me emails and start grooming.
But that's quite a hard thing to kind of deal with, is that if say I was out in the street and I wanted to talk to a girl, I can't because any time I go up to... So, all right, I'm going to sound like a right knob now, but the first time I went to Edinburgh, I didn't really do a lot other than drink, and I just read the book The Game by Neil Strauss. Don't hate me, okay. Right?
Can you outline for those that don't know it?
Sure, I can.
It's a much maligned tome.
So it's basically the art of pickup artistry. This guy wrote two books, The Rules of the Game and then The Game, and one of them is expressing the rules, and one of them is just cataloguing his journey through learning this, right? Now, one of the things is design questions that are going to create interesting answers and blah, 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 blah. So we went up to a group of girls throughout the time that we were there, and we would all ask them the same question,
which was,
if a guy talks to you in the street, do you automatically assume that he's trying to chat you up? Right, which is an interesting question anyway, because I think that women generally do, should I say.
I don't think that.
Do you not? Because majority of the ones that we asked did.
Well, maybe that's because I'm like married with three kids, maybe. But I would never assume that someone's hitting on me. But then maybe that's a different mindset. But you're a comedian. Why would you need to read a book on picking up people?
Oh, no, it was purely because I was fascinated in what
there's a great dream. There's a great moment in the film Played Against Sam, which is a Woody Allen film, when he's with this woman who's the biggest flirt ever, and she's like laid out on the sofa, and she's like, I've slept with everyone. I'm just like sex crazy. I've slept with the Vienna Boys Choir, the NBA basketball team, and this group and that group, and just hundreds of other, you know. And Woody's eyes are kind of steaming up at this sort of litany of people that she shagged, and he leans forward to like go in for the kill, and she's like, get off, what do you take me for? And Woody's like, how did I misread those signs? And that, as a comedy sketch, is also a direct relatable example of like my love life before I got married. Impossible really? To read. What are the signs? Wendy, help us out, single guys out there. What is the signal?
It's a slow thing, isn't it? Like if someone starts chatting to you, you've got to find out if there's any chemistry.
Do you get a signal from the female though? Is there a thing? Do you guys go like? Is it like the call of the wild? Do you kind of go? So actually, no, that's probably a bad sound.
The women in the area know.
Pick up the phone if you call us. That's how it works.
Because I've got a little quick dating background. I think back, like using my capacious memory to when I did date, and I found that I had one or two girls that were English who were absolutely delightful, but I did find that I had to navigate very political waters where it was a bit like The Game before it had been written, which is I felt like I had to pretend that I wasn't interested in order to get... So I wasn't like overly keen, because I was always too keen, and apparently that's not attractive. If you're like, hi, I'm early, how are you? Should we go and have dinner now? And I think that what I had to do is learn that. Well, then I had a friendship and a relationship with an American who just said, hey, do you want to go out with me? Should we be like boyfriend, girlfriend? I'm like, this is refreshing.
Yeah,
forward. And it was the same with my outstanding, unbelievable life partner and best friend, my wife, who is German. I received a contract via email.
You're kidding.
No, I mean, exaggerating slightly, but it was all agreed, like, you know, in written form.
That's so efficient.
That's so romantic.
Yeah, so like, can I confirm we are now in a relationship? Best regards.
I love that.
Wow. And I just thought, this is the way to go.
Really?
But I thought, maybe that's a little bit heavy-handed. But I mean, maybe that, because I always think that's why Tinder and stuff like that is quite good, because it cuts out all the politics.
Well, when I met my husband, I was like on my own with two kids. I was married before. And I said to him, he said, can I see you again? And I said, yeah, sure. I'm free next Thursday, but that's it. And he was like, fine. Because I was gigging at night. And so I put next Thursday in the diary, and that was it. And I didn't speak to him. But normally, like, girls would be phoning and texting, and whereas I would just went quiet because I had other shit
confident.
To do.
That's just a confident move to do, right?
Yeah.
I think that
I wasn't playing any games. I was just like, I'm literally not free until next Thursday.
Now, yeah. Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Jake, but I want to tell you that there's a key item in every Mark Dolan Eats the News, and it's called In the Bin. And it's we take a story which is a waste of ink, doesn't make the world a better place, and we just want to bin it. So what I need is nominations for what's in the bin. And we've got a couple. The first option is Gwyneth Paltrow's website, Goop. Because this is already a terribly tedious website, which tells you to eat food, which is like, it's a lot of lentils, a lot of couscous.
You told me that health was interesting.
Well, I know, but Goop, I don't want to be shouted at by Gwyneth Paltrow, the multimillionaire.
You get an email through.
I've consciously uncoupled from that website.
I like it.
But the latest good. You know what? Okay, fair. Perhaps I was guilty of lazy comedic stereotyping in terms of Gwyneth Paltrow. She's made waves this week with the sex issue of Goop, and according to The Guardian, as you'd expect, it reads less erotically than the back of a chia seed packet, and its advice seems largely concerned with avoiding unlikely allergies during the act. Niche troubles to avoid include super toxic vaginal lube, which might contain parabens, glycerine, which can contribute to yeast infections, and chlorhexidine gluconate, which could kill healthy vaginal bacteria. I don't fancy it anymore. I'm just going to go and watch Netflix.
You know what?
Sorry, darling. I'm washing my hair tonight.
The kids called us when we were having a weekend away, and they're like, "What are you doing, Mummy?" And I said, "We're watching Netflix and chilling." And she went, "Ew!"
Oh yeah.
What? but say that there are these additives in your lube, right? And you start off a healthy sexual relationship and a night of passion, and then 3 years down the line, you want to have children, and that's a problem because you've put toxins inside your vagina.
Exactly.
Just and say.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
also, explain that to your kids on your deathbed. That's why.
that's why you're on your deathbed.
Yeah.
My vagina is infested with toxins.
My your stupid dad used, I can't believe it's not butter on my clitoris. Okay, so that's one nomination. Do you have a nomination for me of In the Bin?
Yeah, Jeremy Clarkson. Oh. Anything with Jeremy Clarkson in.
Because, of course, tell us why he's in the news this week.
He's getting his new show, and it's going to be called The Grand Tour, which is an awful name.
It's a boring name, I've got to say.
So boring, right? They could have done any pun. They wanted to call it called Gear Knobs, right? They wanted to call it Gear Knobs, and they couldn't because the BBC has a clause saying they can't.
I thought they were going to call it Chinese People. They are a bit yellow, though, aren't they?
Which would have been the most appropriate name given the presenter. But I just hate him. Like, I've never met him, but
you hate.
You can't.
You hate
punch
what
somebody
for.
In the face. Constantly throw out these racist terms and then carry on being loved by loads of people unless you're Prince Philip or the Queen.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'm going to back up that one because I think he's just that he is the you know, the prime middle-aged entitled prick that would probably shush me halfway through. Dude, I'm talking.
Put on your high heels.
I can't stand him. I'd quite like
it. I love it. In that case, I've been outvoted, and Jeremy Clarkson is going in the bin this week on Mark Dolan Eats the News. And the other thing that we have to do is we have to have a legend of the week. And sometimes our legend of the week is a very, very wrong person, and we've definitely got the wrong legend of the week this week. And it's a newlywed, basically. In fact, it's a pair of newlyweds who have sparked outrage after a wedding guest revealed that they'd contacted her to say her gift was not generous enough. So the anonymous guest, an ex-colleague of the bride, asked for advice on Mumsnet after being told the £100 that she pledged was not sufficient. Within 3 days, she was inundated with more than 1,000 responses, many urging her to cancel the check altogether. I just love, I mean, obviously this person who has said £100 is enough, is not enough, is the Antichrist, beyond evil. But something just makes me admire their chutzpah to write back and go, 100 quid? Really?
Yeah.
Did you read the email? It reads like something out of Jane Austen.
Considering
your position. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous.
Mr. Darcy.
But the thing is, like, I hate weddings as it is anyway. I'm not going to go to somebody that I call an ex-colleague and go to their wedding anyway. You know what I mean? Like, really, I don't even go to family weddings anymore.
Don't you?
Like, no, I hate them.
I love a wedding.
I hosted a Mormon wedding once, though. That was...
How many brides and grooms were there?
Interesting. Just the one bride and groom. No tea, no coffee,
you
no
would go,
alcohol.
You would go to your own wedding, but only on FaceTime.
I'm not going to get
like,
married.
Here I am! Here he is! All right, well, I'm pleased to hear it. I mean, I think 100 quid's quite a lot of money.
So do I.
Absolutely, you know. It is.
On top of the outfit for the wedding and getting to the wedding. And
Best wedding present? Did you get any good ones?
We did that horrible thing where we asked people to donate to charity rather than buy us a present.
How is that horrible?
I know, but it feels a bit worthy. It's kind of a thing Gwyneth might suggest.
It is a bit goop, I've got to say. Yeah. I'm worried about your vagina now.
I'll have it steamed later.
By the way, can I just say that your vagina is trending on Twitter? So, hashtag Wasten.
Not for the first time.
Wasten badge. Listen, this has gone too far
too
now.
Far.
Even by my depraved standards, Jake Pickford.
It's all Edinburgh.
And also,
promotion.
But actually, I've got good news, which is your tidy little ass is trending as well. So.
Joey.
So if I'm guilty of like outrageous disgracefulness, it's at least spread between the pair of you.
Yeah. My
and
Instagram.
my man moves are there's no hashtag. Sadly, there's very little interest. I tell you what, I've been interested in having both of you. It's been outstanding fun. It's been eye-wateringly entertaining and delightful. We look forward to having you back soon. Wendy Wason, what's your Twitter handle, please?
Wendy_Wason.
There you go. And Jake Pickford.
@JakePickford.
There you go. Have you got a working title for your Edinburgh show yet, The Wason?
It's called Tiny Me.
Okay, what I would do is that about your vagina? Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
I can't believe the sexism I'm experiencing
on
this show.
I'm a bad man.
Shocking.
Get those high heels back on, Jake. See you soon. I've been Mark. Bye.